You're too young.
Yes, where we talk all about musicals from the 1960s. Just kidding. Hey, everybody, this is Mike with the Screaming Monkey 100 and Get on a Trail Shreveport LLC. And I'm getting a text, but I'm here with the Louisiana Trail Report and my co-host, Brad Colwell.
Well, that's me, Michael, and I'm here. I'm glad to be here. As you know, Michael, I was a little under the weather, but I'm here. I thought our friend Chad Dodd would be here today, and actually,
He was here on time.
He was here on time. I wasn't because I was taking a phone call.
From your son
my son, England. Yes. And by the time that was over and I got here, Chad had honeydews to do because Chad has 10 kids and his wife had to go run some errands. And, it's me.
We'll catch him another time.
We will. Yeah. But, Michael, so it's been a couple weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has since we had our groundbreaking episode that showed
that was,
what is all behind
putting on
an ultra and broke down the financials of the old school
Lincoln
Parish Park.
Many emails about that thing, man. I mean, people were like, you shouldn't divulge all this personal information about yourself to thank you for sharing that with me to like a lot everything over the wall. Over the top. Also,
well, I discovered, I need to charge a little bit more for the 5 miler. Just upon looking back at it and breaking it down, like I didn't quite realize that the margin was zero on the 5 miler.
Right.
I forgot to add in. I gave everybody that $4 little thing to keep their phone from getting all sweaty.
I didn't
add that on the little mini breakdown I gave.
Okay.
So once you do that, I basically spent $34 out of $35 that I got. People doing the 5 miler, and that was half of the participants of the race did the 5 miler. So I made $1 per person for half of the people who came.
So we're still talking about this, are we?
No, I mean, it's an oversight from last week, and also another oversight was I don't want people to think that this is what an ultra costs. This was a 3, 5, a 5 mile, a 10 mile, and a 20 mile race. Ultras cost a little bit more. For instance, and we're going to talk about this today, Brad, I think, if we get into it.
Okay.
Buckles. Buckles can be, like $18 to $30, and that's going to take the price of your entry up.
Not a buckle fan.
But, hey, so today, Brad, you so generously provided the beer that we're having today.
Michael.
Picked it up in Alexandria. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I actually picked it up in Pineville. So, the reason I'm being so is because I really don't feel like drinking it today because I'm getting over an illness, but it's from Fighting Hand Brewery in Pineville, Louisiana. Now, for those of you in Sinlaw, know that Pineville recently, in the last couple of years, passed liquor laws, so it is now legal to sell alcohol within the city limits of the fine town of Pineville.
Okay.
And so with that, these kind folks opened up a brewery in Trotter Plaza. I remember it well. And I think it's more of just a home. Michael, so, I'm not a brewery guy, but it's very home down.
That's how it started. And these guys are like sci-fi people. They really like sci-fi, so they kind of have gone with that theme a little bit.
Have they really?
Yeah.
Okay. They're you walk in and it's very comforting, I should say. It's very just, it's bring your own food. That's cool. I saw some guys at the pizza in, and they were drinking, and a TV was going on playing whatever, some game or whatever. And the lady at the bar was really, really, really nice. And the guy helping her was really nice. Nice folks. It's just a homemade brewery, if I could say that. And a couple of my buddies suggested this particular beer. And so I got a crowler of it.
You did? And the first time I've seen this, it's a glass crowler instead of a can.
It was
kind of cool.
Yeah, you owe me $10. But anyway, they didn't have the tin can. So I picked it up on Wednesday evening because it didn't open until 6. And so I got there about 6:15. I walked in. she poured it for me. I bought it. And then I thought, you know, we're not going to drink this until Sunday. Is this going to keep? And because it just, it's a screw on top.
Yeah, it kept fine.
It kept fine?
I think.
Okay. Because that was my concern. Because I drove back home, hour and 45 minutes in my car. I made it. I immediately put it in my refrigerator. And there it is. So now, Michael, I'm getting from being under the weather.
So you're abstaining today. And I may think that's a good idea.
But I've had it.
Okay.
I remember the taste, and so I'm now going to let you partake.
I'm doing the solo beer report today.
You're doing the solo. Right, so and go ahead. You do it, and I'll shut up. You do it.
So this is a blood orange, wheat beer.
Yes.
And so when I tasted it, it's got a really nice like Bock kind of color, like a nice deep caramel brown with a hint or a tint of orange to it. So it looks orangish.
Yeah. So for those of you other folks who might, you trail runners might want to look at this. This is probably what your urine will look like after about 50 miles on the trail and you not taking in very much hydration.
Well, I don't know about that. You might be, you know, dead.
If they're pulling your urine out of your carcass, it would probably look like this.
But I had to look this one up because when I tasted it a little bit ago, and since I'm the sole taster, I felt it was my responsibility, you know, to really, really, you know, make myself familiar with the beer.
I did have a sample there, so I have a
reference. So you have a reference.
I have a reference.
Right, so there was just something, I wouldn't say cloying about it. Usually a wheat beer is really just like chill and refreshing, and it's not that it's not that. It's that there is just something that like that's kind of like registering at the top of my taste buds, like it was like a flowery kind of thing. And I couldn't figure out what it was until I went to the website and read. They brew it with coriander. So it's got this coriander note that kind of gives you like this weird zing at the end of it. So yeah, it's like you can kind of taste the blood orange.
Yes.
And you can see that blood orange is in there. And then that coriander just kind of like punches you right in the top of your nose/taste buds.
And that was probably what when I partook of this. I wanted to taste the orange, and because that's what when I saw the thing, it said blood orange. Well, I love blood oranges. I love blood oranges, and I thought, well, this is going to really taste. Yeah. But that coriander probably kicked in a little bit more than the blood orange.
You know, like the huckleberry wheat that we tried like 5 episodes ago was so smooth and delicious. It's not that this isn't delicious.
Right.
It's just that it instead of just being laid back and smooth, it's just kind of like zings you at the end with a tang. And so I'm going to give it a 3.1.
Yeah, I knew you were going low. I knew you were going low.
I mean, I appreciate the effort in bringing everything.
It was all $29, but I mean, come on, man.
$29.
No, I think it was like $19 or something.
It should have been about. Usually they're about $15.
Well, the crowler was like.
You had to pay for the crowler. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, I got it.
The cans you don't really have to pay for because they're disposable.
Just some way.
So, I understand.
So,
the good news is you can keep the crowler when I'm done drinking the beer.
Well, there you go. So the thing about it was I didn't want to give them a bad review because, you know, my heart is in Pineville, Louisiana.
I lived there for
over 20-something years, but I'm giving it a 2.8 because it just didn't hit the spot with me. Huckleberry. And again, Tuesday night, I had a Huckleberry Trail Dog, and it was awesome again. So that doesn't stand up. I even tried their
This is one of their 12 beers.
Oh yes, and don't
sure,
judge.
Sure, they could have a 5.0 somewhere in there.
Do not judge this mom and pop brewery by this particular beer. Now I did sample their Irish Red Ale, which was a mistake.
Really? Because you recently have admitted to liking Irish Reds.
I think you should, but as I sat there thinking, I thought, okay, I probably shouldn't taste an Irish red ale made by a brewery in Pineville, Louisiana. Maybe I should be in an Irish bar somewhere.
I mean,
you know,
that's a
or maybe in the mother country itself, you know. Yeah. Off the coast, you know, County Clare, drinking this.
I thought you were like a Dane, though. Mother country.
Well, I'm not a Dane, though. I've been called a Dame, but okay. I'm not a Dane. No.
Oh, no, you're not.
But, yeah, so do not let this beer report keep you from going to this really
wonderful little
brewery. Oh, yeah,
give it a try. Thank you, Fighting Hand, for contributing to our beer culture in Louisiana.
And, you know, they didn't even know what we were going to do to this beer, and I felt bad because they're such nice, nice people. And they
we did not rake them over the coals. No, it's not a bad beer. Well, I would drink the beer in its entirety if I ordered it at the brewery.
Michael, I think
I just would try something else the next time.
I think the next time we're in Central Louisiana together, I think we need to go get a pizza from BJ's.
Oh, this is happening soon because I haven't told you this, but I'm coming down as soon as the weather turns a little bit cool.
Are you?
Because I want to run some trails down there. There's one that I didn't get to run because I had so much trouble finding it.
Right.
And I documented that on when we talked about our pit toilet episode.
Right.
But I'm going to come down and run that 20-mile trail, and I'm going to stay at your place again.
Super.
And or you may or may not be there because it's going to have to be on a weekend.
Yeah, I may not be there.
Maybe I can catch you on a, you know.
Maybe the next, like, school holiday, if I'm down there, you come down in the fall.
You
and you do have a week off coming up in October.
In October.
Yeah. But we ought to go get a BJ's pizza and take it over there and eat it and sample some beer.
That is a great idea. Yeah. And maybe we can get some of the Alec folks to come over.
That would be great. That'd be super.
So, hey, Brad, so that's today's beer report. So let's go ahead and get into our episode, the 11th episode of the Louisiana Trail Report.
Wow.
And so you want to start with an announcement about some friends who just kind of accomplished something. Go ahead.
Well, part of it entailed the trail, a trail run, right?
Yes.
So plus we had a good buddy, Mike Cord, that went and did Hottern Hill.
Congratulations, Mike.
Mike's a great guy. He completed the bike ride 100 miles.
He's an okay guy.
Okay, he's okay.
No.
Because
he's a guy that, like, if you run into somebody in this town and you say, hey, do you know Mike Cord? They know him. That's the kind of guy he is.
Sometimes the way he wears his clothes, I'm not sure about it. Anyway.
Everybody knows and loves Mike.
We love Mike. Mike went and rode Hottern Hill in Wichita Falls, Texas.
Reggie Evans.
With Reggie? Okay. And so I had done that about 4 or 5 years ago with Dempsey. We rode it together. But I had three friends from Central Louisiana: Billy McRae, my partner with Run Wild; Josh Jenkins, who, Michael, you know, and you know Billy.
Yes.
Both big trail runners. And, of course, Bobo Anderson.
The infamous.
The infamous and the great Bobo Anderson. If you don't know Bobo, you don't know multi-sport and cycling in Louisiana.
There you go.
Anyway, they participated in the Quadzilla at Hotter Than Hell. And what that entailed
What is the Quadzilla, Brad?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
I was late with my cue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were late with it. So what I think it is the Hottern Hill was Saturday morning, but they got there on Friday. And Friday night, they did a gravel grinder, like a 100K gravel grinder.
Interesting.
Then they woke up Saturday morning and rode the main event, the Hotter Than Hell 100-mile endurance ride. Okay.
Impressive.
And then Saturday afternoon, they did a mountain bike ride. I don't recall how far that is, but I think it was at least 30-40 mile mountain bike. And then this morning.
So wait, after being all morning / early afternoon in the hot Texas sun, they turned around
and woke up this morning.
No, they did a mountain bike ride yesterday afternoon. So
okay, let me repeat this. I think the mountain bike ride was Friday night.
Oh, okay.
Then they did the 100-mile endurance ride Saturday morning, and after that they did 100K gravel ride.
That's what I'm talking about, the 100K gravel ride.
So they
turned around right after
and did that.
I don't know
Saturday
how
night. And then this morning they woke up and ran a trail run, a half marathon trail run.
That's the only part that interests me. Well, maybe the gravel ride interests me.
The Quadzilla. Billy finished third in his 50 to 55 age group. The whole deal. Mm-hmm. Josh finished second in his 40-44 age group. Bobo, let's just say he did the Tri-Zilla.
Ah.
Yeah, he was one short.
Yeah, I think he had a flat or something.
He'll say that. We'll see. But anyway, I'm not gonna ride him hard about it. But that's a.
It's pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive.
Good job, guys.
All right, good job, guys. So that's a shout out to some of our listeners. And Michael, you're with the next topic.
Okay, so Brad, I just wanted to mention that when we did probably 5 episodes ago, we did kind of like a report of upcoming trail races and whatnot that are coming to Louisiana. There's a race that just popped up probably about 3 weeks ago. Casey, a good friend Casey from down the New Orleans area.
Casey Urschel.
Has a new one, the Armadillo Dash 5K and 13.1-mile race. It's a trail run. And I don't want to slaughter it and embarrass myself, but like Bonnecarre, is that
Bonnecarre?
Is that how you pronounce that?
Bonnecarre?
I don't. Yeah. That does not sound right.
Yeah, it's about the Bonnecarre Spillway, right?
Maybe. Yeah, it's on the Spillway, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the Bonnecarre Spillway.
So it's a couple weeks after the Screaming Monkey. So come and do my 25K, and that'll get you in great shape for a 13.1.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Brad?
Bonnecarre.
Yeah.
See, yeah, it's a Bonnecarre.
Bonnecarre. Spillway. Okay.
So the
Mississippi.
That's
that.
Okay. The Mississippi.
I'm from Pennsylvania.
That's right. So the Mississippi has actually 3 floodplain zones as it makes its way, right? There is obviously, everybody knows the Bonnecarre. They release the waters at the Bonnecarre Spillway so it doesn't flood New Orleans when the Mississippi overflows, as well as the Morganza, which is a little bit further north.
Okay.
And then finally, you've got the big master, big one that if you love Louisiana, it's a little history lesson.
I need it because I was living in Tokyo, Japan on an Air Force base.
Yeah.
I didn't take Louisiana history in the 8th grade like all of you good folks did. I was just smart enough to marry a Louisiana woman
and stay here. You were very, very, very lucky to marry a Louisiana woman. But if you were to go a little bit, somewhat north of the Morganza, maybe an hour or two north, you get to the mother of all mothers, which is the massive control structure that basically keeps the Mississippi from flowing into the Atchafalaya River, because that's what the Mississippi wants to do.
Yes.
It wants to take the easiest, quickest way to the Gulf, but the old river control structure is holding back the Mississippi.
I'll have to go see that.
And if you're ever, really, because if you're ever driving up Highway 1, it's outside of Simsport, south of Marksville. It is amazing when you stand there and watch those structures and know that this, can you imagine what would happen to Baton Rouge, the petrochemical industry in America, if that little control structure fails?
So that's on our enemy's target
list,
maybe?
Wouldn't you think it would be? Because
let's not talk about it anymore then.
It failed once back in the, it was designed by Albert Einstein's son. He was a, I'm not. Look it up. He was a famous civil engineer out of California, and it was designed. So you Louisiana people who think you know the state, you may not know it as you do. Head up to the old river control structure and check
that out. Thank you for sharing that, Brian.
There, I read a book on it once.
Something
I read a book. They say when in the springtime during heavy flooding, the ground will shake.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. So that, and this is the Armadillo Dash, okay. 5K and 13.1. You could go over to LazyHound.com and find out more information about that race on November
8th. Well, Casey probably didn't know that because he's from Kentucky, so.
I bet you Casey knew that.
We're going to ask him.
He's a smart dude. He's smarter than
me. You know who I bet knows that? I bet Edie knows that.
Oh, Randy definitely knows
and
that.
And Randy knows that. Randy. Yeah, and Edie. So there you go. So anyway.
All right. So they know all that history. I just learned, so thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I wanted to kind of talk about this episode, Brad, on the Screaming Monkey 100 coming up the first weekend in November. I'm excited about it. The permit is close to coming into fruition. But we got a little bit of a problem in that the park's currently closed.
Uh-oh.
But don't let that stop you from registering people. It's still open.
Really?
Why
is it closed, Michael?
And you know what? We had some bad weather probably about 2 months ago. And we had straight line winds with winds up to over 80 miles an hour. But the only actual tornado that was documented that we had was in Keithville, right where the Screaming Monkey takes place near Jim Pavin.
That's sad.
And it hit the park.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we fully anticipate it will be back open. We're on schedule. We've got a contractor coming in and do stuff. And I'm going to go out there and do stuff, you know, if I have to. But hopefully the contractor will have it, or most likely the contractor will have it here pretty soon. But
right.
You know, want to talk about Screaming Monkey? It's coming up. It is open on Ultra Sign Up. Go ahead and get registered. Just take a leap of faith, people. It'll happen.
Just do it.
And if it doesn't happen, I'll roll you over to next year. But it's happening.
Well, it's going to happen. Are we going to jump the gate? We'll jump the gate.
We'll jump the gate, Brad.
Top gate. Yeah. It's always open.
We'll just do it, and we'll have top to toss
gate.
Us out of there.
Top gate's always open.
You know, 150, 200 of us still have trouble.
I top gated the World's Fair one time.
Really?
When it was in New Orleans, yeah. You know what the top gate is, don't you?
You're just jumping over.
That's the job. Yeah, that's the top gate.
Okay.
Yeah, I was young.
That's okay.
It's been a couple days.
People used to do that to baseball games back in your era all the time, back in the 40s and 50s.
I mean, but had a couple good nights at the New Orleans Police Department. It was good.
That's okay.
That's okay. Anyway, top gate.
I have a good friend who, his name's Chris Ocuzio, and he...
Did he top gate?
Oh, man, he's like a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force now, but no, he didn't top gate. He jumped onto, in the 1980s, he jumped onto the field of the Kansas City Royals game and paraded around, like, basically, like, no shirt on, and now he's the lieutenant colonel in the Air... He was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And he still got to be a lieutenant colonel?
Well, I think he was, like, 17.
Yeah, well, that happens.
So if you're 17, you know, something like that, gets washed away.
I was about 19.
Good dude, though. Good
top-gated.
Really impressive athlete.
Really? That's cool.
He's
that's
on one of those, like, six-year streaks of running every day.
I actually top-gated the other day.
You did?
I did. So, as you know...
I think you made this term up.
No, but I actually went to pay my respects at a cemetery, and the gate was locked. I top-gated.
Okay.
I did. So, there. Top-gate. Right. Try it.
So, Brad, the Screaming Monkey's coming up, and we're working with a new person who's going to do my leather medals.
My
leather medals for the 25K.
Well, I was thinking leather, and I'm thinking, you know, Stevie Nicks, leather and lace, and I don't know where this is going. And I'm like,
about Stevie Nicks.
Oh my God.
All right. So, which then got me to thinking about, you know, and I mentioned earlier about buckles in 100Ks and 100 milers.
I don't like buckles.
Expound upon this, Brad. Why do you not like buckles?
Because everybody does buckles. And it's like a cheap metal. Everybody does buckles. Why do you need a buckle? Are you going to wear the buckle, Michael? No.
I mean, yeah. Actually, I will wear the buckle.
You're
going to
wear like a heavyweight champion or something? You gonna put them on your belt?
I like the buckle. You're
gonna go to Target wearing your buckle?
Although I do have to say, Brad, I do have liked all the buckles, but I am a little bit of a buckle snob in that I think you should have to run at least a 50 miler to get a buckle, or 100K. I did the Indian Creek Triathlon after you didn't have it anymore.
Yes.
In 1 year, and they gave me a buckle.
Oh, that's stupid.
And it had a totem pole on it, which I'm pretty sure that the Indians that lived in that area didn't contribute to the practice of totem poles. I think that was more of a Plains Indian.
Yeah,
kind
that
of
was
thing.
More not.
But
yeah.
So it had a totem pole on it. It bothered me, but it also motivated me in a way, Brad, because yeah. It like at the very top of the buckle, like it had the basic rectangular design, but then it had like a little bit of it poked up above it, and it had a couple like point like cat ear points at the top. So like if you get a little too chunky. And then you sit down, it'll like poke you in your little chunky gut.
Just a reminder.
Yeah. Hey, fat boy.
Yeah.
Get up and do some running. So like, so it took me, I mean, I used it for a little bit, but then it's like, I don't really like this buckle. And I really don't think I deserve this buckle, but I did take it.
I'm just.
Am I in the wrong for taking something? I feel I didn't deserve. I mean, I just did a sprint triathlon.
That's just a sprint. What do you? I mean, a sprint.
You shouldn't get a buckle for a sprint triathlon.
I had a lady come up to me one time at Indian Creek, and she was bitching and moaning and groaning because her son finished.
Hey, Brad, you just said the first true cuss word on Louisiana Trail Report. I mean, we said ass a couple times last week, but it was in context with high ass,
which I do.
You just said bitching, which is the first, the first cuss word on the Louisiana Trail Report.
Is that a cuss word, though?
Well, I mean, Edie said fat ass. Like, that was where the first, but that's not really a cuss word because it was in context of an actual thing, but you said bitching, so.
Well, she
I'm
was.
I'm sorry, Brad, but
she,
you owe me $50 for being the first one to say
she
an actual
was
cuss
arguing word. With me that her son actually finished third instead of fourth in his age group, and this was before I had electronic timing. I was just doing it by time machine and stuff. But I knew that she was in the wrong. I mean, you know, we knew we had our system down, but she kept bitching and moaning and groaning. Finally, I had an extra third place medal, and I said, "Here, lady, take this. It only cost me 50 cents." So when I see a belt buckle, I think, I mean, come on, man. You want a belt? Here, take, you know, it's a belt buckle. What are you going to use it for? Apparently, you use it, but nobody else I know uses it.
That's not true. People wear belt buckles all the time.
Yeah, but I don't.
Do you not? Well,
yeah, I'm not a belt buckle guy.
See, you have a high ass.
I do. That's
so
probably
the problem.
So you
really should be wearing belts and buckles
I should.
To cover up your high ass.
I should. I definitely should. And, man, it's... Well, I had an experience with my high ass this week. I don't want to go into it, Michael. It was, once again, I suffer.
Does it scar you, Brad?
It does. I've learned to get over it, but apparently this one's a little bit harder to do. Ever since it's come out, I get my Tuesday night run group kind of gets me on it, and it upsets me. But anyway,
you have made this comment to me before about buckles.
I'm not a buckle hater. I hate buckles, man.
What's your idea to give people other than a buckle?
Just a pat on the back. Thanks for coming. T-shirt. What's the
people
big deal?
People want a tangible thing to remember the
people?
Race by.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I will admit when I did my last ultra rim to rim to rim, I bought a medal that said rim to rim to rim, and I put the date on it. And I was so proud to get it, and I hung up with all my other medals, you know. Have I taken it out to wear it? No. But I bought it. I was a sucker.
I have so many thoughts on that, Brad.
I was a sucker. I think because I'm old school, I just remember the days when you showed up and you just did a race, and lucky if you got a t-shirt, but you got a hot meal, you got a drink, and hey, see y'all later. But it's turned into this, what am I going to get for my money? And it's like, well, a pat on the back. But I'm old school. So
would you be in favor of races cutting their price in
half? Yes.
and then giving you absolutely nothing.
$15. Come on, I have food, I have a drink. $15. That'll
you
help.
You get a pat on the back.
That'll get a pat on the back. That'll cover my cost of supplies, food, of police. You know, just come on. Yeah, that's me. But I'm old school. I drive the old bus.
I don't know if a lot of the younger generation.
No, they're not.
They want to have a reward for accomplishing something.
I know, Michael. I know. I don't. Nah, whatever. It's whatever.
Are we from a bygone era, Brad?
I think I am. Obviously, I am.
You definitely are. I mean, I am definitely from a bygone era. Buckle.
It's okay. You can appreciate a nice buckle.
But at the same time, like, I don't really always want a medal when I do a 5K or 10K.
I do.
To me, that's
never,
not an accomplishment.
I never want a medal.
But on the same time, I respect somebody who's struggling, who's never really done a 5K, and it's an accomplishment to them. A 5K is not an accomplishment to me.
Yeah.
A 5K is half my workout, half of what I probably should have done.
Pat on the back.
I don't even need a pat on the back for a 5K. I mean, a 5K is like a 3-foot putt. I should be able to do that. I mean, a 2-foot putt. No, 1-foot putt.
Can't you just celebrate an accomplishment and just go on? You don't. I'm not a look back kind of guy. Nah, just not.
Well, see, but the prices of like races now today, like when we talked about this in the last episode.
Oh, we killed it last time, yeah.
But the prices of races, like, you can't justify charging $200 for a race if all you give them at the end is a pat on the back.
Absolutely.
You have to give them a hoodie.
Yeah.
Or you have to give them something tangible like a buckle.
Yeah.
How about a bolo tie? Would you like a bolo tie, Brad? You would look mighty sharp.
No,
in a bolo
tie. I just want to. For instance, we've had this. I'm not a type of individual that likes to do stuff like that. I mean, I catch myself sometimes. I had this other theory. This is off trail running, that a grown man should never wear a sports uniform at a game. In other words, if you're going to go watch the Saints play, a grown man should never wear a Saints jersey. It's so stupid. It's so immature. It's okay for a woman. It's okay for kids. But a grown man, I got something wrong.
Okay, so like, all right, so like at a Saints game, like the coach doesn't wear, some coaches wear like suits. Some coaches wear workout stuff, but they don't wear the uniforms. But at a baseball game, the baseball manager is always dressed like a baseball player.
And that's okay.
No, it's not okay.
It's not?
No. I've always thought, no? I can't wait for the day. Yeah. When one guy like bucks the trend and like, I'm not a baseball player anymore. I'm going to put on a nice shirt and a pair of nice slacks.
Right.
And I'm going to go sit and manage the game in my shirt and slacks and look like a professional person instead of looking like a wannabe baseball player.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh,
you touched a nerve.
No, I did.
You touched a nerve. We got off track.
So it was getting back on track is I used to, but I don't. The only T-shirt that I ever liked to wear was from my previously mentioned friend Bobo, who put on the Holy Toledo Triathlon Challenge, which was harder than an Ironman. And the back of it, the greatest slogan of all about the Holy Toledo Triathlon Challenge was, the cowards didn't show and the weak died.
And I do like that.
And I wore that shirt. The other shirts, you can keep them. I don't need them. I did have a lady.
You think Bobo would let us steal that for the fat ass that we're talking about doing in March?
I think we can do that. I stole the tamale eating contest from
that. Maybe Bobo want to collaborate with you and I on that fat ass, and maybe we can add a gravel grinder.
I will talk
to
Bobo.
We could do a gravel grinder slash fat ass slash 1 mile trail loop. So still, it's just something fun.
You're still into the fat ass, aren't you? Okay.
I am 100% on board with this fat ass.
You talked about that last week. Any other updates regarding your thought process on that or not? Because you're very much. I used to think that I was ADHD. Dude, you beat me by a mile.
I know people worse than me, so I don't feel that bad. But, I'm excited. I want to do it. Like, I mean, I was gung ho, and then when I had a little bit of the permit issues, yeah, I got a little like soured on it. But then it's just a great place, and I just love it. And I just fell in love with it the first time I went out there, and I went out there another time after that, and I was like, yeah, this is the. I was not wrong. And so it's just a beautiful place. It's a perfect place to do a race. But I think for me right now, with my focus on my career and my family, how things are right now, and with the other races I have going on,
yeah.
I think it's best not to start a new race right now.
Right.
And let's just try to do a fat ass there. And yeah. If people like come out in March and do that fat ass and have a great time,
yes.
And like, we would pay money to do this. Then I'll, like Fawn did, I'll start a race.
Yeah.
But I mean, I want to know that there's enough interest to justify doing it.
I see your point. And to that point, I think that would be good. I would for so you have, we have the 17-mile loop, correct? Then there's a
and a 5-mile loop.
I like the 5-mile.
And a 1-mile campground.
I like the 5-mile loop. So
and there's gravel roads for doing a gravel grind.
Yeah. Bobo. So there's you can have a festival out there. So okay. All right. So what
Let's
else is
get
on
Bobo.
Your
Bobo? Hey, yeah. I think
Bobo. Oh my gosh.
Getting Bobo involved kind of is like throwing gasoline on a fire.
He's
don't
he,
you think?
Well, there are outstanding warrants right now, so we can't. we have to be careful.
Mean, it may not be a good idea.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
He.
It's
yeah.
He Bobo involved.
His cousin is mm-hmm. the sheriff of Vernon Parish.
Uh-huh.
He's even hiding from him.
Okay.
At the present time.
Yeah.
So, our other good friend Tony Rawson knows where Bobo is, and of course, Tony being a former state trooper.
Yeah.
He can send the federales on him anytime, but he's held back.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll get Bobo.
But he's the official bus driver.
Well, he is, that's true.
For the Wild Oats. He's
got to come out before then, and yeah. So we'll have to ask Tony to give us an update on his outstanding warrants and see if they're taken care of.
Okay.
Or how they're going to get taken care of.
All right.
Sam Kraft, who's his cousin, is the sheriff of Vernon Parish. Anyway.
All right, so Brad, so
we're 37 minutes into this, Michael.
We've talked about there's a person looking through the window here at the shop.
I know.
A little window shopping.
The doors are locked or closed on Sundays.
I'm going to wave to her. Let's see if she sees me. No, she didn't see me.
Good.
Anyway, so Brad, we talked about the Screaming Monkey coming up in November.
Yes,
and
we did.
It's happening, people. I know the park is
it's
currently
gonna
closed.
It's going to happen.
The permit is
yes.
90% done.
Yeah.
It's happening. So
okay.
So get registered.
Yeah.
Also, we talked about the Armadillo Dash 5K.
Casey, when is that again?
13.1.
When is
November
this?
November 18th.
November 18th. Mm-hmm. So that's after the Screaming Monkey.
And we talked about buckles. So... And we talked about what else would motivate people. So, hey, if you have something that would motivate you and you think, why don't races give out blah?
Yeah.
Hey, put that on Louisiana Trail Report Facebook page. Because I mean, I might be looking for a good idea for something to give out. Like, I mean, I think my luggage tags are cool, but that's just 25K and 50K at Screaming Monkey. I mean, I don't know. I'm remiss to think of something cool.
What about a moonshine still? To everybody.
We could give out crowlers,
We could give out crowlers.
Oh, that's a great idea. Man, thank you, Brad, for buying this custom crowler from Fighting Hand.
Yeah, you're
Gave
welcome.
Gave me a great idea.
You could buy crowlers. And it doesn't have to be that big. That's a 6. Is that a 32
that's
ounce?
That's a 32-ounce crowler.
It could be smaller.
I don't think anybody wants a 16-ounce crowler.
Well,
but a 32-ounce crowler would be good. That's
wimps.
A good... thing to give out.
Beer
and,
wimps
and you
like
could
me.
Put a piece of ribbon around it
mm-hmm.
and you could have a big old crowler around your neck and you could mm-hmm. fill it with beer.
So
congratulations, you finished your 32
crowler.
Ounces of beer around your neck.
I'm telling
like
you,
an albatross.
I'd rather have that than a buckle. Anyway, so going forward, before we talk about our trail report, because I'm already want to tag this episode the episode about nothing.
You watch too much Seinfeld.
Okay. Can we just put, would you put it when you put
this? This is not an episode.
This is the episode about nothing.
We reviewed the old school Lincoln Pierce Park.
The episode about nothing.
We talked about Casey's new exciting race. We talked about Buckles.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we patted our friends on the back who finished
the
quadzilla.
And a trizilla.
And trizilla.
Yeah. So it's, because trail season's dead right now. I mean, you know, you just came off of the Louisiana Summer Nights, but there's not anything happening for another at least month.
There's not really anything happening in Louisiana for a while.
It's the heat is still just keeping people out.
And you know what, Brad? I mean, that's what I just do during the summer. I just try to run like 10 to 15 miles a week, and just try to keep enough cardio going to where when the season's
you can
start,
really kick
I can,
it
I can
yeah. you can kick it
pick
up.
It back up.
Yeah, and that's what you should do. So, okay, so things we need to talk about going forward is we need to have our manager, Catherine, on to talk about shoes, the upcoming season, the new trail shoes, right?
That sounds interesting.
We'll do that. I know that my...
Are there freebies involved for the host of
well,
Louisiana
there may
Trail
be.
Report?
You never know. You never know. I'll
and
talk
you know
to
what
you.
Else we need to talk about?
Yeah.
Louisiana Trail Report shirts.
Yes, Catherine.
Who would be interested in a Louisiana Trail Report shirt?
I have gotten so many people wanting some.
Are you serious?
No.
But, what's the markup going to be, like 5,000% on that brand?
We're going to retire on what we're going to sell.
Oh, man, that's
we'll be
awesome.
Able to retire.
$700 a piece? Is that
so
what we're looking
why
at?
Not? Why not? Why not? It'd be better than... I tell you what, the shirt that we give you is better than a buckle.
It's a better. Nice shirt. It's going to be a nice
let
shirt.
Let me do a shout-out, a trail shout-out to Brandy Bell from Central Louisiana. Brandy's a good friend. She's well-known in Central Louisiana. She made it 40 miles at Leadville. It ain't easy.
And nobody I know this year... made it at Leadville.
I know.
And I announced in our little guys group that's my new goal. I'm going to start putting Leadville. I never have applied,
right.
But I'm going to start every year applying on the lottery for Leadville.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in 4 or 5 years I can get in because there's a finite period. I'm 51.
Right.
There's a period where, like, if I realistically could make it,
yes,
age is going to get me at some point.
Unfortunately.
And so
Michael.
I want to try to get it done before age, that specter, that dark specter of age comes in and just makes it to where I can't.
Like my age. But that's surprising. I guess what the heat, what would you say? Why nobody?
I think it was hotter than usual. Yeah. But, you know... Leadville's at a difficult time for me because I'm a school teacher, and so it's
tough.
A couple weeks after
tough.
I go back.
Yeah.
So I was telling my wife the other day, "Is like, hey, this is what I'm going to do before I texted you guys. This is what I want to do. And she was like, well, I don't think, and I'm like, you don't understand. I'm not asking you.
This is what I'm going to do.
I'm not asking you.
Yeah,
I'm telling you I'm putting my name in the lottery this year.
Yeah.
And yes, it will be a hardship. And yes, my boss will not be initially happy.
No.
But I'm a great employee.
You're
so
a great
eventually
employee.
She will say,
yes.
Okay, I will allow it.
And you have time.
I'm going to have to go 2 to 3 weeks early to Colorado and
acclimate.
And camp out and acclimate. Because if you're good, I'm only getting one shot at this, folks.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not one of these 3-4-time Leadville people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go one time. And either I'm going to make it or I'm not. And I'm going to freaking make it. I'm going to train like a badass. I'm going to be in insane shape, and I'm going to get acclimated, and I'm going to be ready. But it might not be in the next year or two. It might be 3 or 4, but I'm going to be ready for it.
You will be ready. But here's the deal. Will you take that buckle and throw it away? Don't need a stinking buckle.
I wear it every day.
God, I swear.
I will wear that buckle every day,
bro. I'm giving it back to him. But I want to say congrats, Brandy. I know you. It wasn't what you wanted to do finish-wise, but she's a great gal and super nice and is super good at ultras. She's done Wild Azalea and many other ultras around.
Brandy, you need
times.
To come up to the Screaming Monkey 100.
I know.
I've hit her
on it hard. So anyway, yeah. So, okay, trail report this week.
Okay, so this week, Brad, is the controversial Lakeshore Trail in Shreveport, Louisiana. All right, so I first started getting in better shape. I'm 51. I was about 37. I did P90X, Brad, and I got in better shape. And then I started doing triathlons. And when I was doing the triathlons, I ran into some people who happened to talk about this trail.
That's my pensive music. That's my pensive, ominous music.
I heard it, Brad. Yeah. It was very ominous. Very nice.
Keep going.
Set the mood.
Keep going.
All right, so I heard about this place, and it was over off of Lakeshore Drive near Cross Lake, right where Lakeshore meets the I-220. And the interesting thing about this trail is it's kind of on property that's owned by three separate entities, and one of them is owned by one section's owned by a trust, another section's owned by a couple people who live out of state, and I don't know who owns the third one. But there is a dude who has been looking after the trails for years. He lives nearby in a little cul-de-sac, and he pretty much is like the Lorax of the trails out there. He takes care of them. If you go out there, you'll most likely run into this guy. His name's Kevin, and Kevin keeps those trails pristine. And so they're right behind a church, and you park in the church parking lot and you walk. At one point, Brad, I think they had about 11 miles of trail out there.
Yeah.
And so then
total, yeah.
They had an incident where one of the landowners, and like I said, it was questionable as to, you know, the permission of, you know, being out there at times, but the church provided a port-a-john at the church facility and place for us to park, and we used the grounds. They did a clear cut probably about a year and a half to 2 years ago, and
yeah.
People were like, oh no, this is the end of Lakeshore, and you know, it's raining cats and dogs, and it's just terrible. And I'm like, let's just wait and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin had 6.5 miles of trails ready to run within a month and a half of them doing the clear cut. So we didn't have as much, and it definitely the landscape of it changed, but we still had about 6 or 7 miles of trails to run. Well, now the same entity that I think initiated the cutting or the clear cutting of the land wants to put in a oil and gas well location out there.
Yeah.
And so now it's like the trails are closed again.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're what they're doing is cutting a road to go to where the future site's going to be. But the site, Brad's probably going to be about 1 acre to maybe 3 acres.
Right.
And there's still going to be trails out there.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing Kevin, he'll have something.
He's going to get it done.
Yes. So, but if you go up Shreveport and you want to run some trails, right now, a friend of mine ran them on Friday, even though the gate's closed.
Top gate.
Yeah. He top gated it, and he did about 6 miles of trails at 11:30 on Friday in 105-degree temperature.
Who's that?
He's a doctor in Shreveport.
I'm
not going to say whom he is.
No, we won't, because you injured your foot the other day.
I didn't go to hit him.
Oh, you went, okay.
I happened to run into him in a brewery where I was hobbling around on crutches.
Okay,
that's just almost like getting caught cheating on your wife.
Yeah.
When you're in a brewery hobbling in on crutches, and you're on crutches, and your podiatrist comes up and you're like, what happened?
What happened to
you? I didn't come see you.
Oh, that's funny. That's
but I have a bone bruise on my heel. Dr. Google. Google says it's a bone bruise.
Dr. Google.
I'm sure if you're a doctor, you love it when people say Dr. Google. They probably want to slap the
hell out of you. They probably do want it. I told my doctor one time I took some medicine. He goes, why'd you take that? I said, because it said doctor recommended on the package. So, anyway, I tell you.
So that's the Lakeshore Trails,
yeah, that's
Brad. It's a great,
There's some good hills
in there too, Brad.
Yeah, and let me
and
say.
It flows nice.
Lakeshore, though it's not one of my top picks for trails in Louisiana, it is so close.
Yeah.
And there are sections of it that are really nice. And so for that reason, for the convenience and of the convenience of getting there and meeting friends there, yep. and just hanging out and socializing, fellowshipping with buddies. It's and you could get, like you said, a good amount of work done on it.
Oh yeah.
And so I used to like to go back in the very back corner of it where it got really wooded, hilly, and
I think that's the Orange Trail section.
It is.
It was on the other side of like there's a little canal or whatever. It's sometimes dry,
it was the Orange
sometimes
Trail.
Not.
Yeah.
And so that was the old Orange section.
I would always see deer back there.
Oh yeah.
Always see deer back
there. And this is an urban setting, folks.
It's right off.
There
of
are
the,
deer.
Yeah, I know.
In that area,
you can hear the cars on the 220 loop.
Oh, Kevin would every once in a while be pulling a deer stand out of there. Someone would try to sneak back in there and hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they had as much right as he did to be there. Really,
I guess. but you know, Kevin can get it done.
If Kevin does get it done, he does a great job.
Kevin's a super guy, nice guy, and he comes out to Screaming Monkey.
Oh, he's a volunteer out there. Yeah,
he's
great. He's a
good
dude.
We like Kevin.
He is a supporter of all things multi-sport.
Drives a Subi Crosstrek.
Does he?
Does.
I did not know that.
I know
that. You're a fellow Subi Crosstrek. You're a Subi driver.
I'm
a
Subi driver. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. We will hopefully get the Lakeshore. But yeah, if Kevin can get it going again.
Yeah.
And if you want to come up to Shreveport, just drop us a line. We'll give you the directions. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get to. Let's say you come up here for a business meeting or visit family and you want to get a run in the morning or evening.
Yeah,
that's the place to go.
I think it'll still have about 5 or 6 miles of trails when everything's said and done.
Right.
But you know, hey Brad, maybe on the next episode or the episode after that, we can talk about a new place to run.
Maybe so.
We can't give too many details
No, we're
but
not.
But there is a, you know, like Jerry Seinfeld, that episode where he was like, I always eat things even out for me.
Yes,
you
yes,
know, we
I know,
might
yes.
be kind of losing a place, but
we might be gaining a place.
Gaining a place
we
too.
Might be gaining a place, right?
So
positive
be,
news.
Be waiting for it. We are going to, we're efforting an interview with an individual who will kind of, you know, clear this up for us and give us some more information and details about this. In the next couple of episodes, the Louisiana Trail Report, Brad.
Perfect, Michael. Perfect. Right. So we've now almost ended the episode about nothing. And so is it time to... Is there anything
else?
It's
not nothing, Brad. We commended some friends.
We did.
All right.
Several friends.
We shined a spotlight on a new trail run in Louisiana called the Armadillo Dash.
We talked about the old river control structure in Simsport that holds the Mississippi from destroying Louisiana.
We informed people about the old river control structure.
Yes, out of Simsport. That, yeah. It would
know,
be apocalyptic.
I was ignorant.
It would
but
be
now I'm not ignorant about that anymore.
Yeah, you
I've
now
got other things I'm
you
ignorant.
Now know how to pronounce Bonnie Carey.
Yes.
So that's good. That's good.
I learned some things today,
you
Brad.
Did. I mean, it's okay, though.
I feel like I've grown.
You have grown a lot,
yes.
Michael, since we've done this. Okay, so are we ready to sign out?
And we told people about a trail that they can or cannot run.
Right.
May or may
Locally,
not be able to run.
May or may not run. Yeah.
So if we didn't help you with that, so sorry.
And, you know, we were going to have our buddy Chad. And so Chad needs to.
Somebody was like an hour and a half late.
I was late because my son had called me, and I was talking to my son and daughter-in-law. Chad needs
Family
to come.
Comes first.
We need to do an episode with Chad. I want to get a beer report from Chad's perspective.
I don't think Chad is a beer guy.
He's a chocolate milk guy.
He's a chocolate milk. We could do a chocolate milk
we could do
report.
We could do a chocolate milk
with
guy.
Two or three different chocolate
we
milk.
We might have to invite a beer guest, just a beer guest, just to
somebody who doesn't run trails, just drinks beer?
And just gives us an idea on the beer itself, because I don't know if our grading scale is, I mean, I know mine's probably subject to peer review,
mm-hmm.
okay? Let
mm-hmm.
me just say that. So, I don't know.
All right.
So
this has been episode 11 of the Louisiana Trail Report.
The episode about
Thank
that.
You, everyone, for joining us.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, y'all. We'll see you sometime, and happy trails, everybody.